Up next, we're talking money with the man responsible for fee-only financial planning in Ohio, founder of the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, and expert advisor to the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and U.S. News & World Report. It's the only financial planning show on radio, Managing to Be Wealthy, with your host, John Sestina.
Good evening and welcome to Managing to Be Wealthy. This is Tyler Cook, Tony Payne, Stephen Lucan with you tonight. And we have a new guest this evening. I'd like to welcome Samantha Piper to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Sam. It's great to have you here and look forward to seeing you on future shows.
Yeah, of course.
But guys, it's hard to believe that we're almost halfway through 2018.
It's amazing how the time flies.
It does. And as I get older, it's the truth, right? I heard my parents say it all the time, but now it's a reality, right?
It sure is.
My daughter go ahead.
Time flies. We see Sam on the radio. We don't hear. All these things happen.
That's right. My daughter got braces yesterday. It's hard to believe, you know? Hard to believe. It's going quick. Yeah. Going quick. So that's life, right? It goes quick, and if you don't pay attention, you blink and things can pass you up quickly. So it's a great idea to always have a kind of what we call a mid-year checkup. Right, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Some mid-year review of your plan and different things you need to be aware of, whether it's taxes or retirement savings or just your goals in general. You know, we talk about starting the year writing your goals down and seeing where you're at and holding yourself accountable. But mid-year, June, July, that's when it's time to take a look and are you on track?
Right. If you don't review your goals, you're probably really not focusing on them. Maybe you are, but most likely you're not because you just get left in the whip by the wind, just like a New Year's resolution.
Right.
Right. It works great in January, but by February and March, you sort of forget about it. And that's human nature. And it's important just to keep on track.
Absolutely. And so, you know, things are you covered if something happens to you? Right. Have you thought about that? Maybe your goal this year was to get an estate plan in place. Have you actually done it? Have you made any progress towards that? So we'll get into that. But as always, we'd like to start with some current events and topics that we read throughout the week. And a couple of good ones tonight, guys.
Yeah. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Well, I'm going to go first with some somewhat sad news, somber news, that General Electric got delisted this past week. That's delisted from the Dow Jones, right? Okay. It's a Dow Jones Industrial Average, the top 30 stocks, which is a gauge on the overall stock market. And it's a pretty big deal. I mean, you look at General Electric, I look at that as one of the staples of America going back to beginning of the century. It was founded by Thomas Edison, I believe, right?
Well, now that's GM and GE. I mean, people used to build portfolios around that. Pension funds were built on GM and GE.
Right. We heard stories from John Cecina back when he first got started. You could have a little bit of GE, a little GM, a few other stocks, and you were pretty diversified.
Right. Golly gee.
Right. Right. It's incredible. So, I mean, what went wrong? What happened?
Right. Well, they got burned in 2008. They got hit really bad. General Electric went away from their staples of being a appliance goods kind of company, and they went into the whole real estate, financial services, financial backing services, and they got burned with the real estate crash in 2008, and it almost buried the entire company. They got support from the government, just like a lot of the banks and so forth, but GE Financial was sort of the downfall.
I always thought it was a little funny when I started to see long-term care policies that said GE on them.
Right.
I mean, you're
right.
Thinking that's insurance. Wow, General Electric is in a lot of businesses now.
I'm thinking that's my dishwasher, you know?
Right.
I think that's what happened, right? They got spread too thin, probably.
Yeah, maybe it was long-term care for the dishwasher they should have stuck to.
and they're talking now they're going to probably spin off some of the companies, right, the subsidiaries of General Electric. So we'll see a lot more of that in the news. But I just looked at it as a sad day. Again, you know, as you said, GM, GE, staples of America.
Right.
That's what this country was built on, as from the stock market even. And to see them get delisted, it was a little eye-opening. And regardless of the size of the company, even if you're an individual stock investor, you got to keep your eyes on it and don't get too greedy and over-concentrated in any one stock.
Well, real quick, what would be your opinion then on the leadership there, G? I mean, we thought for the longest time Jack Welch was probably one of the greatest businessmen of all time. Did he set this up, or was he there well before that?
Well, when he left, they were the largest market capitalization stock in the stock market. So they were the largest. So when he left at the summit, the pinnacle of the mountain, and we'll jumped right. in, and I don't, right? Who's the one who
yeah,
made
it? Exactly. Right. Well, I know I've got a lot of those books, though, and those are interesting.
What do those
to me,
books say?
So. Well, for Jack Welch, at least, he's a captain. He's a captain. So I don't know that the blame falls on his shoulders in this, but that's why I'm asking. I know, again, as you've dove into it here, like you're saying, it's one of those companies you'd think is the fabric of America.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So going from one of those companies that, again, as you said, Tony, the fabric of America, to maybe some more newer companies with new ideas,
the
new
future.
Technologies. Oh, you get so excited about this.
I do get excited.
I remember you talking about this probably over a year ago with our company.
Yeah.
And that's the whisperings or the – really, it's becoming a real thing. This idea of a Hyperloop transportation system by Elon Musk.
Correct.
He's Tesla guy. He's the – Tony, what's the space?
SpaceX. Yeah.
Doing all sorts of different things. So what's this Hyperloop thing they're talking about? And how it affects Columbus, by the
right,
way.
Right, right. Well, the Hyperloop, when I first heard about it, I sort of chuckled just because it's basically a 700-mile-an-hour train. And to put it into visual context, if you remember going to the bank and you would stick that little tubular thing in and it would just vacuum and shoot right out, that's the technology. It's a vacuum tube transportation system. And obviously, they're going to start with probably goods and services, right? Just good transporting goods.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll work to our wage towards some lab animals. I don't know any other way to describe it. But and then eventually human transportation.
Well, and they're hoping to do it in L.A., I think, by the end of the year.
Right.
I mean, they've been boring that one from L.A. to outstanding areas there in the subways. So it may be realistic here in the next year or so.
Right. And the proposed loop for Columbus is Columbus to Pittsburgh, Columbus to Chicago. And getting to Chicago in 20 minutes?
Right.
Go see a Cubs game and be home by 11, 12 o'clock?
Well, you know, we know with our individuals, too, if you could work for a company in one of those larger markets where they're used to having to pay their employees through the nose just to be able to afford parking, let alone a decent place to live, if they could live in Pittsburgh or somewhere outside Pittsburgh, commute to that just like a subway anywhere else, but then end up in Chicago and pretty much be there to work and back within, or I'm sorry, to work within 30 minutes. That's a reasonable transit time, but think about the housing cost. If you could live just outside Pittsburgh and buy a house versus having to live downtown Chicago, night and day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, growing up in Eastern PA, I knew people who commuted to New York and they would rent like for one or two nights in an apartment and then commute back and forth from Eastern Pennsylvania. I mean, that's over 2.5-hour ride, drive, but that was their norm.
Yeah.
And because of affordability, right? So that's a good point. But Hyperloop, it's around the corner. As you said, Tony, it's being worked on already in California, and it's going to be a real future means of transportation for – I'm just curious, what's it going to cost?
Well, I was going to go there next. So the goal, at least what we read, the goal is that it's affordable. It's not – it's cheaper than a plane ticket.
Yeah.
And it becomes a day-to-day means of transportation, much like a subway. So we'll see. I mean, we still have people we talk to every week that live in Long Island, and they're commuting into Manhattan for work, and that's an hour and 45-minute – you know, you drive to the train and take that train, the old school train into the city. So it's going to be interesting to see how this can apply. And Tony, you mentioned something earlier, boring.
Oh,
right?
I love it.
Well, Elon Musk started a company called The Boring Company, right?
Exactly.
Selling flamethrowers to take the money, the proceeds to help
I
fund.
I waited too long. I couldn't get one. I tried.
Literally
now,
selling flamethrowers. Yeah, selling flamethrowers to help use those proceeds to fund his adventures like this, his other ideas, and who knows what he has next. The SpaceX stuff is pretty interesting. But this all affects our lives, and technology continues to affect the way we live. And, of course, bringing that back to your financial plan, that's going to change the way we live our lives day to day.
Yeah, and it'll change the markets. It'll change everything. But like you said, the day-to-day life and we're ever-evolving society and this kind of technology is going to only keep us going in the right direction.
Just when you think something's so true, that's when it changes.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, when we get back from the break, we're going to continue our discussion this evening, and we're going to take a look at, start with retirement, guys. I think we'll start there, looking at your retirement accounts and a mid-year checkup to make sure you're on track to meet your goals for 2018. So please join us after the break. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN.
You're listening to the only financial planning show on radio. Taking your questions tonight is WTBN's own resident money expert, certified financial planner, author of Planning a Successful Future, and founder of one of America's leading financial planning firms, John Sestina.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. Tyler Cook, Tony Payne, Stephen Lucan with you tonight. Also, Samantha Piper here this evening. And we're talking about a mid-year checkup on your goals and your financial plan. And again, as we said earlier, life comes at you quick, and it's important to take a step back, see where you're at, make sure you're still on track. Just as life happens, certain things can, unforeseen things can push you off course. And that's part of what we do every day, guys, is just putting people back on track, making sure that they're focusing on the long term. So
not focusing on flamethrowers.
That's right. Flamethrowers. Or, yeah.
Yes. That's for our fun talk.
Yeah. Yes. So retirement, that's a big topic. Of course, the baby boom generation is going into retirement every day. I forget the stats are on that, but it's pretty outrageous how many millions of people are retiring. And looking at retirement accounts, not just beginning of the year, end of the year, or when that statement comes out, it's a good idea to have your finger on the pulse and know what's going on. So what are some things people should be looking at throughout the year? Use this year, right? In June, the month of June. What's a good thing to look at?
One of the great things to look at are the type of plan you might have available through your employer if your employer offers a retirement plan. So they offer many different types. There's all kinds of different things out there. So I'll ask you, Sam, if we're thinking out loud here, just out of what you know so far, pick a retirement plan, and why would that be your favorite?
I would have to go with Roth IRA just because of my age and where I'm at. I think it's a great start to get started on the future with savings.
Right, with the benefits being tax-free, right? It's
yep.
Sky's the limit. Government's not going to tax your growth.
So they say.
But they won't.
Right.
I mean, there'll be pitchforks. I'll be the leader of that
yep.
group if that happens. But yeah, the Roth accounts, Roth 401k or Roth IRA, they're fantastic.
Speaking of pitchforks, you wondered why you might need a flamethrower earlier. Sorry, I haven't given it up. Sorry, guys. But back to retirement
right,
accounts
yeah.
and what to look at seriously. You want to look at what are you deferring as a percentage, and not really as an amount, but as a percent sometimes, especially early on.
Meaning how much of your paycheck is going into that account.
Exactly. And then later on, which hopefully if you paid attention early, just naturally you're maxing out your contribution and your max earning years. But if you're not, you really need to catch up then. And that's the idea of what to look for is, okay, if I'm going to retire in the next 10 years or so, am I deferring enough? And how to determine enough is sometimes the hard part. So, Stephen, I know you've done it a few different ways. Of course, we look at our cash flow worksheet or living expenses, but what else could someone do to, I guess, try to figure out what do they need? How's enough?
Right. Well, I'm going to sort of answer your question, but look at, as you said, look at the paycheck, right? Where here we are at the 6 month mark. Look at what your 401k deferrals are, 403b deferrals are, multiply by two. If that's your pay period, and then you can see, okay, that's what my tracking is for the 12 months on my yep. savings. Do I have more room to save a little bit more? Right. Use that as a gauge. If you're only, you know, if you have 18,000 to go in, if you're not at 9,000 halfway through and you have the ability to put a little bit more away, up it.
Right.
Increase the contribution amount. And the beauty of the 401k, it is that out of sight, out of mind concept where it's working for you. It's working for you silently yep. and in a positive manner. So I always say, look at the pay stub, see what your contributions are. I think that's a significant, just a review, is to take a peek at that 6 month
right.
interval pay stub.
Right, and my wife, it's still weird saying that, guys.
Yeah, hey,
yeah.
This is the first show.
The first show
right?
back
yeah,
after
right.
the wedding and everything. Yeah,
yeah
thank
nice.
You.
Nice.
She has a employer, a 401k plan, and when she met me, we met a few years ago, I encouraged her to start that, and we looked at it a few days ago, and she was shocked how much she had saved in there. The out of sight, out of mind concept, because it comes right off the top. It doesn't go into your checking account. You don't have a chance to spend it.
Right, exactly, yeah.
That's most people's challenge, right? Is it's what? In the checking account, they might spend it. Who knows? What was that?
I'm blowing up over. I'm thinking, weren't you just on your honeymoon? What are you doing reviewing her 401k over your honeymoon
yes.
there?
It was actually right
how
before
romantic.
We left. Yeah, and it's automate things, right? Whether it's through your employer or if you recognize that, hey, maybe I need to be saving more than what I can contribute to my employer provided plan, something like Sam, like you said, a Roth IRA, set it up on an automatic schedule, out of sight, out of mind. If it's monthly, quarterly, whatever you're comfortable with from your cash flow, take that pressure off and you'll get used to it.
And some people, I think most people, they do a better job at paying bills than they do at savings.
Sure.
So if you create the mindset that your savings account is actually an invoice or a bill, pay it.
The best kind of bill, right? You're
right.
paying yourself.
Right, you're paying yourself. Yeah. And that's
a great example.
Right,
yep.
Pay yourself first and then worry about everything else after that.
Right. So one thing I want to touch on is the, Sam, your comment about the Roth IRA. There's also, Stephen, as you said, the Roth 401k. And I think it's underutilized. some studies we've seen. It's getting a little more traction, Tony. We read a study from Vanguard recently about retirement plans and where people are saving their money. But can you explain a little bit about the Roth 401k?
Well, the Roth 401k, like you said, it's underutilized. But the idea is just like our Roth IRA, Sam's favorite here, the trick is you put money in, you don't get a tax deduction right away. But once the money's in there, it grows tax-free. You can take it out tax-free. And the best part in some cases, if you don't use that money, you may not have to take it ever. You right. may be able to leave that to heirs who then could elect to say, hey, I want to take it over my lifetime.
And they inherit it tax-free.
Exactly.
Right? Yep. And the other thing, too, is with the new tax law, we have lower tax rates. So it might be to people's advantage to switch from a traditional 401k, 403b, or to a Roth 401k.
Now, that sounds like some planning there, Steve.
I know.
I love
those
that.
Dangerous
but
words.
If you're able to look at your tax rate now, see what you were benefiting perhaps from a deductible plan, say, hey, my tax rate went down or my standard deduction went up, it may be beneficial, exactly like you said, to do a little planning and see if that
flip
Roth 401k makes sense.
Well, and it benefits you twofold. It benefits you today in the sense that you're building a tax-free bucket, which you'll also be grateful for that in retirement. Because you kind of said it briefly there, Tony, but it's a big planning point. You know, a lot of people think, okay, I got $1 million saved in my 401k. Well, guess what? You got to pay tax on that when you take the money out in retirement. This Roth concept would allow you to at least take some of that money and not pay tax on it. Tax diversity is what we call it in retirement. And you can actually do a hybrid. You can contribute some to the Roth 401k, some pre-tax, right? Where you get the tax benefit today, so you could split the difference. Say you're doing 10% to your 401k. Take 5, do it in the Roth, 5 how you're currently doing it. And if the company matches, another important point there, that match would be also be pre-tax money. So again, having options, we like options, multiple income streams, whatever it may be. Looking now, again, mid-year review, see where you're at. And consider also another feature that they offer, which is kind of an automatic increase.
Right.
Some of these 401k plans through the big providers will allow you to set it where it kind of tricks you trick yourself, right?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So 1% increase a year, you know, again, maybe you see it, maybe you don't. I doubt you do. I doubt you notice the effect on your checkbook.
Right, exactly. Especially if you're somewhere, like you mentioned, one of those larger companies where perhaps you could count on that inflation raise every single year. So if that's bigger than the 1% increase, you're not going to feel it in that sense. And every year that you may advance or make a little bit more, you're just going to automatically have that much more going in. And there's also sometimes automatic rebalancing that's available.
You're reading my mind.
Oh, geez, I'm jumping ahead of you. All right.
It's all good.
Tell me about this.
No, I was exactly what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, look at the automatic rebalance, right? And that should be done, what, once a year maybe?
At least, right? I would say. And then any more than that's probably obnoxious. You may be thinking about the market too much because that's long-term money there.
Right. Well, that's where I was going to go next is you may get the question, well, there's a lot of volatility in the market. Should I increase my contribution? What if it goes down? It's not about what's happening right now. Look at the horizon. This is money that you're not going to be touching until retirement. Even if you're close to retiring, you don't live just to retirement. You live through retirement.
And if you really think it through and you have money to invest, you want the market to go down.
Right. During your saving years, absolutely.
It's an abnormal way of thinking, but it's right. true, right? You want to buy low and sell high. Yeah. So you want the market to be going down if you have money to invest.
Right. So a lot of things to dig into, and we're just scratching the surface so far this evening. But when we get back, we're going to continue this discussion and talk about other things to review mid-year and maybe change the mood a little bit to talking about those unforeseen things like death, disability, perhaps a need for long-term care if you're going into a nursing home or maybe one of your loved ones is. So when we get back from the break, we'll tackle those topics. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN. Back to Managing to Be Wealthy. Tyler Cook, Tony Payne, Stephen Lucan, all certified financial planners with you this evening. And Samantha Piper, one of our up-and-coming stars, associate planner. You've got a big test coming up, I think, right?
Yes, I do. This next month, actually. So
all right.
It's and coming.
The CFP
We've all gone
exam.
Through it. You're going to do great. Wonderful.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Brutal. But good luck with all that. And a lot of that ties into these topics we're talking about tonight with different planning and reviewing your goals. In fact, that's step one of the financial planning process, right? Goal reviews. And again, got to keep it in front of your face. Write your goals down. Put them somewhere where you can see them. The fridge, wherever. I keep them on the desktop of my computer. All right, so
you think you're joking?
Your car,
right?
Yeah,
right. I've seen them.
Right. Yeah,
I think I got an invite to review goals even with you.
Yes, we
you did.
Yeah,
you did. Yeah. There's a lot of great resources too that people can use on our website, which is managingtobewealthy.com. And on the top right, you'll see a section that says "Take Action," and that can take you to a page where you'll see a lot of good resources, including a link to our questionnaire, which you can complete that if you feel like you'd like to come in and meet with us and see if we're a good fit and learn about more about our services. So again, that's managingtobewealthy.com. All right, guys, let's jump back into it. And Steve, we talked about the more somber things, but we're going to change it up a bit here and go back
to. I get excited.
Yes, there's a lot of changes this year with taxes, right? And perhaps you haven't even filed 2017 yet. Maybe you filed an extension.
Yeah.
Right. So you're still thinking about that, but it's important. We're halfway through the year. Half the time's gone to make some changes with this new tax bill. So what are some of the bigger pieces that people should be looking at from a tax perspective?
Well, this is where I'll get on my soapbox, so be careful. With the tax law changing, and it changed to the benefit of the taxpayers, right? So we've had a reduction in taxes.
What do you mean? That's not possible.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But it is. It's actually very favorable in many different circumstances. But everyone's going to be affected by it. A couple things I'm going to say is, one is, if you work with someone who calls themselves your financial advisor and they have not talked to you or reviewed your tax return with you on how this new tax law impacts you, I'd question them.
Or if they've never asked for a tax return.
Come on, man. The interest on my yacht is no longer deductible as a second home because it's a couple million. But come on, that's not fair, right? That's not fair. No, I'm being facetious here. You're right. For the average taxpayer who didn't play a lot of games, perhaps, and interest or borrowing, things like that, if you were just a W-2 employee doing perhaps all the right things, you benefited.
Big time.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. So my point is that you need to ask your CPA, how does this tax law affect you? Because a lot of people don't know what they're withholding, if their withholding amount is appropriate. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to get a large refund next April, and that's not a good thing.
Right.
Because if you think about what we just talked about, putting money into your 401k, you could basically take all that refund money and put it into the 401k, and you have no idea and it's working for you,
exactly,
as we just described.
It's working for you, right?
So have those withholdings reviewed. The other thing, too, is this is where it's going to be becoming a conflict of interest. There's going to be a lot of people who don't need an accountant anymore. And how many accountants or people that do your taxes are going to say, you know what, you can just go buy TurboTax, you'll be fine on your own because it's very simple?
Yeah.
I think we're in a big, big situation where there's going to be a conflict here where a lot of tax preparers, especially those stores we see, you don't need them anymore. Just go buy TurboTax, you can do it yourself. So make sure you review your tax situation with whoever you work with. And then, as I said, if you have someone who calls yourself a financial advisor and they have not discussed this tax law change with you, question it.
Right.
And because they're not doing you any good service.
Tax planning is a year-long thing, right? And this just makes it even more of a emphasis this year, but it's something that's discussed throughout the year, not just when you're getting ready to file.
Right.
What I'm hearing is planning, not reacting, not perhaps products or any of that, because again, if your only focus is products, you're not thinking about planning or creative strategy. All you have is a product to sell. That's the only way to keep the lights on, to keep things rolling. But all these things you're talking about, Stephen, are outside perhaps everyone else's purview a little bit. Somewhat it's the accountant. Sometimes it could be your broker, perhaps. But there's not really someone there to say, here, let's put all these pieces together of the plan and make it happen. But there is when there's a financial planner involved.
Right. If you have a good financial planner who does represent you well, they're going to be thinking, here's some adjustments that we can tweak,
sure,
take advantage of this new tax situation to your benefit. And that's the thing. The rule is written. The law is passed. Here's the laws. Here are the rules. It's like Phil got in a little bit of trouble at the U.S. Open.
Mickelson, yeah.
Right. But he used the rules as written.
He did.
Right? So give it a break, these people saying all the holier than
thou. Oh, you should have quit. You shouldn't have shown up the next day.
Right, yeah, exactly.
On.
Those are the rules. Let's follow the rules and use them to your advantage.
Right. Absolutely. So, again, no matter what tax bracket you're in, more of your money's taxed at a lower rate. That's the general theme of the new law. But there are some changes on the deduction things and whatnot. And we've been running projections throughout the year to kind of see how that impacts people. So realizing that life changes and income changes, it's not a straight line for everybody. Perhaps in a low-income year, maybe this is a year that you're going to retire and you only work half the year. What other doors, what other planning opportunities does that open?
All kinds, really. You may be eligible to finally fund your own Roth IRA. You might not have done that before. You may be at a different income level. You could do that sort of thing.
Because the government limits, right? If you make too much in their eyes, then you can't contribute to a Roth IRA.
That's how good it is. If that tells you, and when the government says no to something, usually there's something sweet about it.
Right.
Don't touch that stove.
That's what they're doing with the Roth IRA, right. It seems.
And those limits change each year, right? Those limits, as far as what they call phase outs, those change each year. And so if you have a lower income year than what you've had previously, perhaps that identifies that opportunity. So yeah, so you could do maybe make a contribution. What if you still make a little too much to make a contribution? What other ideas could you do with the Roth?
Well, perhaps hinting at a Roth conversion.
Yep.
And if you're in a higher income year, that may or may not be as beneficial. But the idea is you could pick the amount you want to convert.
Right.
So perhaps you don't do it all at once. You spread it out. Or it's a great idea and you wait until next year when you're not working or you may have a much lower income. But that's the strategy right now is summertime. We're all busy. We're having fun. But to sit down over a weekend perhaps and just look at your own plan. Look at it as it's a plan, not just this is my pay stub, but you have to look at them all together as part of one plan, and that will help you say, okay, I can go enjoy the rest of the summer because I'm saving enough, I'm on track, and I'm not paying more in taxes than I may need to.
Absolutely.
The other area is particularly for business owners, right? There's a lot of new tax law in place where it could help the business owner reduce their taxes to their advantage. And again, we won't get into the details of it, but review.
It's complex, right? I think even some accountants, they will freely tell you that they're just getting their heads around that part of it.
Right, because the tax attorneys are just deciphering the tax law.
Right.
And now the attorneys are teaching the accountants and the CPAs, and it's getting out there. But people are going to start to realize there's some good strategies on the type of business you have, whether it's a C-Corp or S-Corp and so forth, a dividend versus W-2 earnings. So that's a little high end, but it's there.
Yeah, I just had a lot of numbers and letters and acronyms there. Wow. All right. Needless to say, though, what you're focusing on, which is great, there have been changes since last year. So we need to loop back, think about what has changed, how has it impacted us, how can we take advantage? If you're stuck and perhaps this is my income, that's what it is. Anything you can do to get money back legally out of your taxes, you want to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of aggressive taxpayers, and they don't realize it.
Right,
exactly. Those commercials, the H&R Block commercials, I think they are, get your billions back, America.
Right.
It's true.
Right, yeah.
People are not paying attention to it on an ongoing basis or being proactive, right? That's kind of what we're trying to get at, is be proactive with it. So there's some other things, too, on the tax side with this year, and we've talked about this quite a bit throughout the year, but as your life changes, so do your benefits through work, and so do your what's available to you, right? Do you have maybe something like an HSA, a health savings account? That could be another good tool to consider reviewing your contributions, even like we started with your 401k. Are you on track to make the maximum contributions to something like a health savings account? Because guess what? Maybe you found out this year that you're pregnant, something like that, right? Yeah. And you're going to have a child. And guess what? You want to start ramping up the savings at that point.
Big time.
Because that's a very expensive life event. So when we come back, we'll tackle more of these topics and talk about some of those what-ifs, right? The what-ifs that happen in life that inevitably occur to everybody. So thank you for listening. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN.
We're talking all your money questions live. It's financial planning. It's investments. It's managing to be wealthy. With your host, America's father of fee-only financial planning, SIFA's Financial Planner of the Year, and a nationally recognized source for financial planning advice, John Sestina.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. This is Tyler Cook, Tony Payne, and Stephen Lucan with you tonight, also joined by Samantha Piper. There's been a lot of topics like we always cover, guys, different parts of your life, and it all impacts your financial plan. And I know you guys wanted to touch on a couple different things from goals and living expense worksheets and whatnot. So let's start there, and then we'll continue with our discussion.
Well, I was going to jump into the complex stuff, the fun stuff as I think of it. But
the professor likes that stuff.
we like businesses, and part of why we like businesses and business owners is you have a lot more flexibility over your taxes. So we were just talking about taxes last segment, and some of those strategies may involve your children. It may be, hey, let me get them involved early on, and for all the right reasons,
right.
And you get a tax benefit. Or perhaps later on in life, it's time to start to transition the business. succession planning is huge, and it's a lot more than just having the lawyers draft documents. And unfortunately, that's where I think a lot of plans drop off, is they get the documents done. But a good succession plan, usually years and years in the making.
Right. I was just going to say that. It starts long before it actually comes to fruition.
That's why Cameron's at the office, guys. 8 years old. But it's true, right? You can hire your kids and do the right things. Teach them about discipline, about that work ethic. But also at the same time, start saving for college using different techniques and tools. And we have a few people we've worked with that have used their businesses successfully to pay for college tuition, and the kids graduate debt-free. And they knew it wasn't a free ride because they were working for it.
They were part of
that process. Yeah.
Well, and that's what we're saying too, is that work ethic. No matter what, the money may be there. It may be, whether it's borrowing or whether it's working for it, whatever. It's perhaps going to be there. They have to work for it. It may not be the ideal that you had in your minds, but if you're able to use your business, have the children work, learn along the way, and leverage that into some college savings. Again, you're talking it through with them. Hey, yeah, these are monies you're earning. You can do perhaps whatever with them, but funding for college here makes great sense, especially under the new tax law like you were talking about, Stephen. There's usually some good benefits there, especially if the child's a little older and perhaps in those college years, they may be able to start finally filing their own tax return and take advantage of this new higher standard deduction.
Right. And that, not only college, but even if potentially, you know, private schooling, if that's a scenario, the situation. So use any business owners out there definitely need to brush up on the new tax law.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Well, you're mentioning living expenses earlier.
Yeah, I was nagging you at the break. Six-month mark.
Yep.
You should do this. I do. Some evenings I sit there and open my computer and I start plugging the numbers in. I update my living expense worksheet all the time. And it's not about what I shouldn't be doing. It's about knowing what I am doing.
Awareness.
Right. And that's, yes, because what I do know I'm doing is I'm saving enough. Allison and I are saving enough for retirement. We have that set. And then whatever we have left, we spend.
Sure.
Right. We don't spend it to the full degree, so I have some leftovers, thankfully. But what I do then is say, okay, how much am I spending on lunches? How much am I spending on dining out?
Yeah.
How much do I spend on that one glass of beer every month? Right?
Every month, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let
that go. So whatever. Yeah,
if any doctors are listening, I believe that's the answer he puts on the question.
Right, exactly. So again, it's about awareness.
Yes.
And now here we are, 6 months in. Find out what your first 6 months were. I just got a surprise last week when I realized I had to service the air conditioning unit. Forgot about that one.
Yep.
Right. Boom. There's a couple hundred bucks out the door.
Right.
So again, it's planning, knowing, and that's my soapbox for the living expenses.
It's critical. And a lot of times too, I'll hear some pushback on the AC example, the unit. Like, oh, that's a one-off thing. That just happened to me. Well, guess what? Those things, it's life. It's going to continue to happen.
Happens, right.
Something new each year, right? It could be fun things like a wedding.
Right. Those are cheap.
Yeah, those are real cheap these days. And it could be those unforeseen things, right? So it's important to be aware, just knowing where you're at. If you don't know where you are, you don't know where you're going. And this is a great time of year to just sit back. Take 10 minutes. We're not talking hours, right?
Right.
Take 10 minutes, even if it's a couple times a week or month, however you want to do that. An important part, too, is that you mentioned Allison, too, your spouse. Making sure your spouse is on the same page if you're married, right? Knowing that it's an open book. That's the only way it's going to work, right? You got to have communication in any relationship, including financial planning, obviously marriage. And being aware of those things and kind of holding yourself accountable is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? Awareness and seeing where you're at. And you said it right. Pay yourself first. After that, have fun.
At one of our workshops, we had an attorney at the workshop, and I started chit-chatting with her. And I was like, oh, what kind of law do you practice? She goes, divorce attorney. I'm like, oh, okay. And I started talking. She's like, it's by far number one reason is money for divorce.
Yep.
It's number one reason. And too many times it's because of lack of communication about money.
Yep. Absolutely.
Those are some, I hate to say fun, that wouldn't be the word, but conversations with those attorneys, though, working with them through the process, there's what I may say is the old formula of who negotiates what you perhaps want out of each party out of a divorce, but it doesn't always correspond with good financial planning. That house that may be there and that may be entitled to still be there, you may want to liquidate when you think about the overall pictures of downturns and how long will the money be there. And each plan is a little different. Each divorce is different, all the terms. But that's where you may be going through that. it's a brand new financial plan. And for you to be thinking about what does my new picture look like, I mean, again, hopefully it's not this time of year, but if it is, this is a great time to say it's a fresh start. Where do I need to get to?
Right. Try to make it somewhat positive, and it's right. never an easy situation, but it's got to be addressed. And obviously we can have a whole show on that one.
Well, I have been to a divorce party now, so it doesn't always have okay. to be as negative, maybe, but depending on which party you are.
Right.
But in those same lines that we hit on, there's some of those what ifs that are just out there, that having that cash reserve, knowing what your living expenses are, so you can actually fund a cash reserve for those what ifs, Tyler, that
right.
whether it's the AC unit, driveway, who knows, medical expenses.
Leaky sure. roof.
Exactly. Yeah. There's unlimited numbers of these expenses out there, and the idea that they're one-off, yeah, there's a lot of one-offs out there.
And I think it's human nature. I mean, at least I know I'm this way. It's you kind of put off those things to like estate planning, for example. Or disability insurance, or life insurance.
It's easy to, kick the can down the road.
Yeah, I'll deal that's
with
not going to happen to me,
right?
Those yep. types of things. But obviously good planning, you plan ahead. It's like auto insurance, right? You can't get life insurance after you're gone. You got to do it while you're here. Particularly with life insurance and even disability insurance, in most cases, you're never going to be more insurable than you are today, right? Barring, unless you have significant health changes for the better, where you get a better rating. But every year, right? In fact, insurance companies celebrate your birthday every 6 months, right? We're a year older every right. 6 months in their calculations.
Yeah.
It's true. And
premiums go higher.
Premiums go higher, right? Yeah. So again, reviewing what you have available through work, if maybe you didn't take advantage of some of those benefits when you initially, during open enrollment, being prepared to see what you might need to supplement your other plans, like disability is a big one we see, guys, where most policies that you get through your employer, and I'll say most, not all, most are insufficient. They don't go far enough to provide you enough protection should something bad happen.
Right, and the way the rules are written are not always to your favor, so you want to know what are the rules.
In case the what-if happens, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. And there's rainy days, maybe there's one today, but to finally sit down, log in if you have that access, or go to your handbook and start to go through that and say, what if I was skiing this weekend somewhere nice and had the mountains going? What would happen?
Right.
And I hate to go there, but if you go there when you're healthy, when you can make decisions, that's the best time to start that planning.
What's even better is when you're in that situation, you know it doesn't matter. Everything's taken care of. I've got everything tied up. And I literally talked to a gentleman yesterday. He's like, just knowing I don't have to worry about anything yeah. is fantastic.
Yeah. Never forget, I got a phone call a few years ago. Very, very bad health scenario coming up. And it was gave so much peace of mind, not only to myself, but more importantly to the client, that, hey, you're good. Focus on taking care of each other. That's what's important. So it's been a great show, guys. We covered a lot of topics, as always. Again, feel free to visit our website during the week. That's managingtobewealthy.com. We'll be back with you next week. Thank you for listening to News Radio 610 WTBN.